Round the Moon by Jules Verne. Chapter 1. From 20 minutes past 10 to 47 minutes past 10 p.m. As 10 o'clock struck, Michel Ardan, Barbicane, and Nicholl took leave of the numerous friends they were leaving on the Earth. The two dogs, destined to propagate the canine race on the lunar continents, were already shut up in the projectile. The three travelers approached the orifice of the enormous cast-iron tube, and a crane let them down to the conical top of the projectile. There, an opening made for the purpose gave them access to the aluminum car. The tackle belonging to the crane being hauled from outside, the mouth of the Columbiad was instantly disencumbered of its last supports. Nicholl, once introduced with his companions inside the projectile, began to close the opening by means of a strong plate, held in position by powerful screws. Other plates, closely fitted, covered the lenticular glasses, and the travelers, hermetically enclosed in their metal prison, were plunged in profound darkness.
"And now, my dear companions," said Michel Ardan, "let us make ourselves at home. I am a domesticated man and strong in housekeeping. We are bound to make the best of our new lodgings and make ourselves comfortable. And first let us try and see a little. Gas was not invented for moles."
So saying, the thoughtless fellow lit a match by striking it on the sole of his boot, and approached the burner fixed to the receptacle, in which the carbonized hydrogen, stored at high pressure, sufficed for the lighting and warming of the projectile for 144 hours, or 6 days and 6 nights. The gas caught fire, and thus lighted, the projectile looked like a comfortable room with thickly padded walls, furnished with a circular divan, and a roof rounded in the shape of a dome. The objects it contained—arms, instruments, and utensils, securely fastened against the rounds of wadding—could bear the shock of departure with impunity. Humanly speaking, every possible precaution had been taken to bring this rash experiment to a successful termination. Michel Ardan examined everything and declared himself satisfied with his installation.
"It is a prison," said he, "but a traveling prison, and with the right of putting my nose to the window, I could well stand a lease of 100 years. You smile, Barbicane. Have you any arrière-pensée? Do you say to yourself, 'This prison may be our tomb'? Tomb, perhaps. Still, I would not change it for Mahomet's, which floats in space but never advances an inch."
Whilst Michel Ardan was speaking, Barbicane and Nicholl were making their last preparations. Nicholl's chronometer marked 10:20 p.m. when the three travelers were finally enclosed in their projectile. This chronometer was set within the tenth of a second by that of Murchison the engineer. Barbicane consulted it. "My friends," said he, "it is 10:20. At 10:47, Murchison will launch the electric spark on the wire which communicates with the charge of the Columbiad. At that precise moment we shall leave our spheroid. Thus we have still 27 minutes to remain on the Earth."
26:13, replied the methodical Nicholl.
"Well," exclaimed Michel Ardan, in a good-humoured tone, "much may be done in 26 minutes. The gravest questions of morals and politics may be discussed, and even solved."
26 minutes well employed are worth more than 26 years in which nothing is done. Some seconds of a Pascal or a Newton are more precious than the whole existence of a crowd of raw simpletons."
"And you conclude, then, you everlasting talker?" asked Barbicane.
"I conclude that we have 26 minutes left," replied Ardan.
24 only," said Nicholl.
"Well, 24, if you like, my noble captain," said Ardan. 24 minutes in which to investigate—"
"Michel," said Barbicane, "during the passage we shall have plenty of time to investigate the most difficult questions. For the present, we must occupy ourselves with our departure."